From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Should everyday investors brace for Janet Yellen's big speech in Jackson Hole? And what about those stock market records? Should you really pay attention to them?
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
With August winding down, there is not a lot out there to pay attention to, or is there? This is Your Money Matters, and I'm John Wardock at the Wall Street Journal. Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen appears in Jackson Hole, Wyoming later this week, on Friday to be precise. Investors want to know what's up with the Fed. Is an interest rate hike coming in September or November or December? Let's bring in Joe Duran. He is the CEO of United Capital. He oversees $16 billion in assets, and he joins us now. So, Joe, when you hear about big headline news, there's a big story coming. In this case, it's Janet Yellen delivering a speech in Jackson Hole at a conference there. How should I brace for that news? How should I prepare for that news if I'm an investor?
You should do almost anything that you do in your normal life and not spend 5 minutes worrying about what Janet Yellen is going to say or not say, because the markets generally tend to reflect what everybody is currently thinking is going to happen, and it's already reflected in today's stock prices. So I would suggest to people living their everyday lives that the news that you hear every day coming out of Wall Street or anywhere else really has very little impact in your day-to-day lives and already is reflected in today's prices. But nonetheless, it will have implications. I just say to people, don't react to anything you hear because, frankly, you're too late if that's when you're reacting.
How true. How true. So if we see it on TV or see it on our computer screen, what should our reaction be?
It should be nothing. It should be to focus on what you can control. We as human beings naturally feel when something happens that we have to react immediately. And yet, the financial markets are a very odd creature. They typically already reflect everything that everybody assumes about the future in today's value and prices. And so what you want to do is not be like everyone else, which means don't react simply because you feel like you have to. There are really very few things we actually have control over. The markets are not one of them. Interest rates are not one of them. We're not Janet Yellen. What we have the ability to do is react to our overall asset allocation, the overall risk in our portfolio, and whether we need to change our own financial plans because things have changed. So I say to people, you should be far more concerned with the fact that the 10-year bond is at 1.5% and what that means to your retirement and how you should think differently about it than moving in and out of bonds because of it. Because one you can control and the other you have absolutely no control over. So I say to everyone, make sure you focus on the things you can control, because that's frankly the only place where you can have an impact.
The stock market has enjoyed some records in recent weeks. Do you think that everyday investors who see that news then panic and think, boy, I should pile into stocks?
I don't think they should. Here's what I think people are going to be surprised by. We have now for years been saying we expect this to be the longest bull market that any of us will ever experience. And I don't mean in percentage terms, I just mean in longevity. And I'll tell you why. We're seeing the most tepid GDP recovery in the history of any recovery we've ever seen. And what does that mean? It means that it's probably going to be really slow, on slow boil for a really, really long time. And as a consequence, you're going to have an environment that's quite unusual. Like, it is very unusual to be this many years away from a 15% decline. We haven't seen a 15% decline in the stock market in literally years and years, almost 5 years now. That's really unprecedented. But even though the recovery is 7.5 years long, it hasn't been like 99 or 2005, 2006, where we had these huge, very big run-ups. It's been kind of tepid. And that is actually a huge positive because you don't have overheating. And while valuations in the U.S. are quite high, they could still go for a lot longer. I still say to people, don't suddenly decide you should be invested. This should be a steady eddy race. You know, this is definitely the tortoise versus the hare. if you're planning on retirement or you're planning on living on your money, you don't want to make any abrupt moves because this is a long-term play. You have to look at your overall allocation. And if you're going to invest, don't invest in the areas that have already gone up the most.
It sounds as though what you're advising here is if I see the massive headlines about the Dow or S&P or NASDAQ hitting another record high, that I should go, okay, that's good, and then move on to something else.
That's correct. And if you feel like, boy, I've, like a lot of people have still underinvested and they have too much money in fixed income. And I do think that is an area where I would pay some attention. The volatility and the risk in a bond portfolio is the highest that it's ever been. But nobody talks about that. In fact, with stocks, we have a very high dividend yield still. And while valuations in the U.S. are high, there are opportunities in Europe and emerging markets where valuations are relatively low, where you can still invest and capture the overall economic growth of the world. You have to own equities, really, in any portfolio because almost everyone's going to be retired for 25 to 40 years. It's a long time. You have to have some portion of your portfolio growing, and that's not happening in fixed income where you have 1.5% yield. But typically, yes, I say to people, worry about your plan. Make sure that it's built to last. Make sure that it's current and relevant. A lot of people still have financial plans out there with a 5 or 6% fixed income yield, and that's not available today. So you have to be realistic about, should my plan be adapted and changed given the facts that we're looking at today, which is a 1.5% 10-year bond and a fairly lofty stock market.
And where do you think the stock market is going in the coming months?
I think you're going to continue to see more of the same for at least another 2 years. And what I mean by that is it's going to be anywhere from 0 to plus 10% at any point during the course of the year. Probably ends at 6 or 7% up for the year. But you're going to see these 5 to 7% corrections every once in a while until Janet Yellen decides, hey, I'm not going to be supporting this market any longer. And I don't see where in the next few years that's going to stop because all the world's central banks are playing a game of chicken. No one dares take the foot off the gas. And as a consequence, money has to flow to the stock market, even though it is a little bit lofty. What we'd love to see is U.S. economy now translate to earnings growth for the underlying companies and pick up in emerging markets. We're not there yet, but if that happened and we start to see some real growth, then you would see a final blow-off phase. Then you would see the Fed step back, and that's when you should start to really be concerned that we might be in for a real correction.
What do you think potentially could trigger that next big correction that we see in the market? And I ask that knowing that, boy, this year started off really gloomy.
Yeah.
Then it improved, and now we seem to be coasting along here.
Yeah, I think what you, it's, I don't see anything happening. Typically, the way bull markets end is not from old age. They end because they run out of gas. And we haven't seen, typically what you'll see is suddenly you'll see the economy start to pick up speed, you'll see earnings start to really grow, and then multiples to expand aggressively. The Fed will be behind an eight ball, and they'll wait too long, then they'll throw cold water on it, and we'll suddenly hit the brakes. And we're nowhere near that yet, I don't think. So I think it could be 18 months from now when we see that kind of thing unfold. But we've got to see a lot more corporate growth, companies' earnings growing a lot, and some of that bullishness reflecting. But as you're saying, everyone's more concerned about it going down than going up. The market goes up when most people are concerned about it going down.
Getting back to the Fed for a second, what are you forecasting in terms of rate hikes, and what are you telling your clients?
I mean, just think about how things have changed. We started with there were going to be 4 rate hikes this year. Then we went down to 2. Then we went down to maybe there'll be 1. I think it's unlikely we'll see a rate hike. We've seen that Janet Yellen is very, very much a global Fed chair. She might be the Fed chair of the U.S., but she's very concerned with what's happening around the world. Brexit's added another layer of complication. The rest of the world is doing nothing to raise rates. In fact, they're at inverse rates still, negative rates. She's really in a place where she can't increase rates, or the dollar goes up, our debt goes up, and we've got $13, $14 trillion in debt now. And so we're really in a Gordian knot, and she has proven to be a very, very careful with increasing rates. I think we're going to see very little. I suspect 0 rate increases this year unless we get some really positive surprises.
So you think that even a December rate hike is off the table?
I don't think it's off the table, but I think it's unlikely unless something really positive happens. And I don't see, look, we're seeing the economy starting to pick up speed again. Perhaps it happens, but if the rest of the world still has negative rates, we're dependent on them. We can't afford to have our dollar go up much more. and therefore look at the rest of the world's rates. If German rates suddenly turn positive, if Japanese rates go positive, then we would say absolutely we'll have a rate hike in December. But there's no reason to think that's going to occur.
And Joe, when a client calls you and is nervous about something going on in the world, whether it's Brexit or a lousy GDP report or some major headline out there, what do you tell that client?
You tell them the same thing that I would encourage anyone to do, which is to say, okay, let's assume you're right and it's going to do that. What would you like to do with your money? And then what would you like to see in order to get back in? Because getting out of the market, making changes to your portfolio, assume you can make two decisions right back to back. One is the move to get out, and the other is the move to get back in. Now, I don't know the human who knows how to do that accurately. In the meantime, you will be guaranteeing that your plan, if you go from, let's say, 60-40, and that's how your plan is built, and you go down to zero in stocks, your entire plan is wrong. And when are you going to correct it? So I say to people all the time, you have no control over that. Over the course of time, certainly the next 20 or 30 years, the stock market will still be probably the best place to be invested. That doesn't mean it'll be like it was in the 80s and 90s when you had 15% returns. It just means that relative to the alternatives, certainly better than money market, certainly better than bonds, which I consider to be the biggest risk people have in their retirement is what they own in fixed income. I say, look, you can't react proactively on what you think might happen because everybody already thinks what you think. It's already priced in. You're too late.
He's Joe Duran, the founder and CEO of United Capital. Joe, thank you for taking a few minutes to offer your insights.
You bet. It was great. Have a great day.
And you can follow Joe on Twitter, at Duran Money. You can follow us on Twitter as well, at WSJ Podcasts. And I'm John Wardock, and this has been Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Got an Amazon Echo or an Amazon Tap? Listen to the Wall Street Journal as part of your flash briefing. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.